Morning. So today, with our sitting practice, with our ceremony that we'll do after the lecture, and with these words, we're celebrating the enlightenment of Shakyamuni Buddha. We're a little early on the traditional calendar of our lineage. The date would be the 8th. Rohatsu means the 8th day of the 8th month, or the 12th month. The 8th day of the 12th month. So, we can say, well, it's a date that's been picked to celebrate the event that occurred some 2,500 years ago in Bodh Gaya in India. According to one story of that event, at that time, when Shakyamuni Buddha realized the Great Way, he said, "I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way." Oh, and also there was a stimulating event for him saying this, which was that he looked up in the sky after sitting still, unmoving, for 7 days at the end of 6 years of austerities. At the end of all of that, he looked up in the sky and he saw the morning star. And when he saw the morning star, he had this great insight that together, he and all beings and the great earth woke up together. You know, prior to that time, Shakyamuni, well, I was going to say he's just like us, but no, not really. He was a man of his time. We can say that he was a man of his time, and one of the things that men and women of his time did was leave home and wander around and practice austerities. Do various religious practices of the day. So he was one of many. We can say at that time he was one of many of that type in his culture at that time. He did have a special history and so forth. But nevertheless, when he awoke, when he had this great realization, he had actually been abandoned by his fellow small group that he was practicing with. They had turned their backs on him because he had realized he was starving to death as a result of his austerities, and that he was going to die without realizing his quest unless he had some sustenance. So he had taken some milk from Sujata, a farm girl who lived in the neighborhood, and thus he was prevented from dying so he can continue his quest. But his fellow ascetics disapproved of his taking sustenance, and so they left him, they abandoned him. And so he was alone at the time of his awakening. And when he thought and reflected back on this great insight, he thought, well, I don't think I can do anything with other people related to this because it's so sublime, it's so difficult to understand. I don't think people will understand it. So I will just remain a wandering ascetic, practicing on the basis of this great awakening. And as we know, that thought didn't take, because other people recognized his enlightenment and asked him who he was. And he said, I am a Buddha, an awakened one. And when his companions who had abandoned him recognized him and bowed to him and washed his feet and set out an alms bowl before him, he began to teach. They asked for the teaching. The people who had abandoned him asked for the teaching. And so he started to teach. And he taught for 49 years, the great Buddha Dharma. So that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating today Shakyamuni's awakening and his compassionate decision try to express it for others. Such a difficult thing to do, to express this kind of sublime. That can't be named, really. So I was thinking that I was thinking about the morning star, and I was thinking how oftentimes in the stories that we get handed down through our Zen lineage, oftentimes there's some physical object. There's something outside. Something is seen outside of this body mind. You know, you don't get too many stories that actually say he was sitting there in Zazen and he woke up. I'm not sure I know of any of those stories. Any such story like that. It's always the realization always happens in relationship to something, in relationship to something other, some other thing, the words of another, or the oak tree in the courtyard, or the sound of a pebble hitting a piece of bamboo. So, yeah, exactly. A fist, a shout, a hosu. So there's always this enlightenment, this great moment of awakening always seems to happen in relationship. It doesn't seem to happen. I mean, maybe it does. But happen without relationship. But I think what we hear is there's some there's some insight. I think what we hear in these stories is there's some insight into our relationship to what's has been imagined to be always outside of this body and mind. Right? So we in our Yogacara teaching, the essential problem is described as basically the alienation of the self from others, the alienation of the self from other. The basic problem is described as a confusion about the relationship between self and others. And it's also described as a wrongly imagined relationship, that we have a wrong imagining about our relationship with other. And the wrong imagining is based in the idea that we have there is an other to be got a hold of and grasped and held, and that there is a self that does the grasping. So this is what is described as the wrongly imagined relationship between self and other. So we had this great poem yesterday. I brought up this poem that came with the case we've been talking about, case 75 from the Book of Serenity. And we had this wonderful poem, which I'll read again. The round pearl has no hollows. The great raw gem isn't polished. What is esteemed by people of the way is having no edges. Removing the road of agreement, senses and matter are empty. The free body, resting on nothing, stands out unique and alive. I think the main thing that I wanted to say, or the big point, relates to this phrase in the last, second to the last line. Senses and matter are empty. And I think it's this wonderful teaching that we have from the Yogacara has what I'm currently thinking. I'll say what I'm currently thinking based on this teaching, and this is what I'm currently thinking. If you read all of the people who write about the Yogacara, you just can't believe the. Well, they think this. It's so many different viewpoints of what is meant by that teaching that we've been studying, that those 30 verses. There's a great deal of diversity and debate that goes on to this day about the meaning of those verses. So I'm taking undoubtedly a side that can be disputed, but I'm going to take it, and then because it's the way it's done. So senses and matter are empty. My understanding is they aren't empty of nothing. The senses and matter are not empty of nothing. They're empty of our imagination about the relationship between senses and matter. That's how they're empty. We imagine a certain relationship between self and other. And our practice is gently this is a line from Shakespeare I just thought of. It gently persuades me what I am. It gently persuades me what I am. So practice gently persuades me what I am. And what I am in relationship to the morning star. And the ash tree. And Michael. And Alexi. And all of you. My practice gently persuades me that you are not, and it is not how I imagine it. And so I need to be really careful about my relationships, because I know I'm always in danger of getting off on the wrong foot, that I'm always imagining I have a deep habit ingrained in consciousness to imagine you as separate, other, not me. And if I do that, I won't care for you the way I want to. I won't take care of you. I won't take care of me. I won't take care of the whole situation. If I imagine you that way. But my practice persuades me that I do want to take care of you. I so much want to take care of you. And I'm ashamed that I don't do a better job of that in all my relationships. But, you know, when you're a head student, you say part of the script when you're a head student is you say, at the end, of after all the people have asked you a question in this ceremony that they have, you say, I am deeply ashamed, but I will keep on trying. It's a script. But it's okay, you know. That's how I feel, actually. I am deeply ashamed, and I will keep on trying. So I think, you know, Shakyamuni woke up. And based on his awakening, I think we should take away. What's the takeaway? The takeaway is we should be very careful about our relationships. Let's be very careful about our relationships and very, very kind and very much giving the benefit of the doubt, you know. And you know, we don't see, you know, sometimes we just have some doubt, and we think the other does not have our best interest in mind, not as much as they should anyway. And the way to have the other have our best interest in mind is to have the best interests of other people in mind all the time, the best interests of other people. It's so hard to turn that around, you know. Such a strong habit of acquisitiveness, getting what we want for ourselves, seeing it my way. I was trained in that school for a long time. Very hard to turn that training on its head, but essential. Essential, the work of a whole lifetime. To put the other first. To see that the morning star and I are so inextricably linked. Somebody in the, Jeff, no, you know, in the study group, no, there's nobody from the study group here, but somebody was saying in the study group the other morning, the dust in the Dharma Hall is stardust. And I said, okay. And they said, yeah, I read about it. It's the dust balls. Well, we are very connected, you know. So maybe it's so. That's what somebody said. Somebody came into the room yesterday, and I think they said, I think what you're saying is this is about connection. And I said, yes, definitely. It's about connection. It's about seeing that I and the great earth and beings simultaneously achieve the way. It's been wonderful to sit with all of you for 2.5 days. Last year I labeled it Mini Rohatsu. And this year when I put up the thing, I said, Rohatsu. It was partly because I thought I went to the Soto Zen Temple in San Francisco. I happened to be by there. I went to see what they were doing for Rohatsu. And this is Soto Zen Temple in San Francisco. Japanese Soto Zen. And what they were doing for Rohatsu was they were sitting 2 periods at night for 7 days. So I thought, okay, great, thank you. Thank you very much. Rohatsu. This is Rohatsu, no mini Rohatsu. Rohatsu. So, thank you so much for your, you know, staying in this container and making it lively. And for the serving, and well, I know all of you did. This was sort of the, I think, to do it this way was sort of the minimal number we could have. You know, everybody had to work and contribute. We will mention the Tenzo in due course. So I just really appreciate the way everybody pulled together, and you know, we were just like one boat with a lot of oars, and we made it possible to do this with a kind of small group. So I haven't generally, you know, taken questions in this or asked for people to say something, but if you have something, you can bring it forth. Yeah, John?
Well, I really enjoyed the Dharma talks, and I think one of the ways I could tell I enjoyed them is that, you know, we were kind of talking about 30 verses and projection only, but sweeping in a lot of things. And one thing that's always confused me a little was the story you told about the master who wakes up and kind of questions himself, and then he says, "Don't be fooled." And I don't recall hearing before that he says, "Don't be fooled by other people," but that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of the Dharma talks, all of a sudden things, you make those connections, and to me, you know, what had always been slightly perplexing about that, all of a sudden it's, you could say, don't be snared by your imaginings of what people are. And, you know, so it's really nice, because those are inspiring ways to hear those stories, and they're encouraging, and you can make those kinds of connections, at least when I can do it. It's just been encouraging, because so much is unlocked in the stories and the languages. So thank you.
John?
Verse becoming a Zen prayer. May I not have edges, may I be like a pearl. It was a really sweet talk and complete. As what is done today. And I just want to say that I really feel supported in sitting these past few days by the community. And I was thinking about cleaning the Buddha bowl and then raising the scratch of my mouth. And the taste of my setsu reminded me, the taste of my setsu was Green Gulch, Green Dragon Temple. And so, thank you to the Lord.
Oscar? I think in with respect to that, I think it is okay to treasure your insight. I feel it is okay, you know, to treasure your good experiences, and then, you know, not try to get them back, but they are treasures. They are definitely treasures. I was actually going to include one of my great treasures in this talk, but I thought I've never talked about that with anybody, and I think probably that's best. It's best. So that will have to remain with me, but I think that treasury of the true Dharma eye. That's it. That's the translation of Shobo Genzo. Treasure yourself. Treasure other people. Treasure the Dharma.